Wow. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. We have Doug instead of Dawn, so we're having a different approach to our entry music, and that's kind of fun. This is for Veronica Entwistle. Always quite happy to talk to you, and also quite happy to renew some of the approaches to this show, which has been going on for a while. You're listening to Radiance by Design, and I sure hope you're going to call in tonight. Or you can email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, and I will answer your emails on the air. Tonight, I'd like us to talk about relationship. It's so interesting. There's a couple of things I've been working with a lot of people lately, and ultimately in relationships, well, let me see, I want to say three or four things at once, which is part of my style. I was listening to Matt Kahn. You all know who he is. And he's talking about how the waves of change and awakening and ascension, the way he's saying it is that 2015 is such a huge year. And he says that we're stepping up into having to do new relationships after this year. It's like we're finally clearing enough and so on in order to create new relationships or to create relationships in a new fashion. And I listened and I thought, I don't know if that's true right across the board. But it certainly has been true that many of the people that I work with and many of the people that many of you have been through some incredible growth, some huge periods of isolation, some frustrations about relationship, some recognizing, seeing yourself in the mirror of relationships or catching your toe in the karmic and subconscious aspects of relationship where you're suddenly pulling and pushing inside of each other, two pigs in a gunny sack, they used to say. But you know that feeling where you get in a relationship with somebody and you say, wow, it's going to be hot diggity dog. And then there gets to be a point where the reflection back and forth really sticks you both, if you know what I mean. It sticks you in a pattern of behavior that becomes, I guess my way of putting it is exhausting. See, here's another thing about relationships is we do have an empathizing technique in relationships. Some people are more empathic than others. We're all empathic. But some people are much more empathic than others. And I remember when I left my first husband went to heaven, but my second husband was extremely depressed. And I could not, and perhaps I was naive at the time because it was a few years ago, but I could not unhook myself from his depression. And so that empathy took me down and took me down, and I went down with him in many ways. It took me a couple of years after I left, and you could say we should stay and be faithful and loyal and blah, blah, blah. And I think there's a measurement here, and this is kind of maybe a morality, or this is a choice or whatever, but there are some times when you have to pull out because you can sacrifice who you are. In this show are very involved in being the truth of who we are, not to be just a product of someone else's depression or to be contained by it, you know? And what I'd like to say is that I got so bold and brave that I could push his depression out and help him transform it. I think that's the ideal. But also, there's another thing, which is relationships sometimes have contracts. And those contracts sometimes come to a close. And then you've done whatever it is you came to do together. And then you move on. So it's a very, very complex issue. And the only person that's really going to know is, da-da, you or me. And one of the things I find interesting, because I've been talking to a lot of people lately, and one of the things I find interesting is people wondering how to actually recognize what they're doing in their patterning. What are they resisting? Why is it they're having trouble in relationship? What is it they're trying to learn? How can they research within themselves where they're hooked into someone else? And how can they undo it? You know, it's a very interesting subject. And I was talking to somebody tonight who is a wonderful friend, and she had, as a child, she had a lot of isolation. Her parents are kind of non-existent in the sense of being intimately available to their children. And what happened is this one went off into riding horses and was on the ranch a lot of the time, or the farm, a lot of the time totally alone, and kind of got used to life like that. So the two things, one is it's very good to learn to be alone, A. B, there's a factor of having to be isolated when your childhood is a certain way, or when your, another way to put it is when your soul's lineage is a certain way. Right. So this one has gone off to, she's had several marriages and things just haven't worked, but she's gone off to a new job. And in that job, a repeated occurrence, which is repeated in her relationships, which is all of a sudden, nobody's telling her what it is she wants to know about job changes and staff changes in and around her department. And it was like, she's going, why? Why does it get like that? And I go, wow, isn't that a part of your patterning where you have had isolation from the time you're small? So here this program is coming up in her, coming up in her, coming up in her. So I think what we're going to do, and let's do it right now. Let's call up, and this is what you do. You ask your guides and angels, call up the program, and we'll work on more of you with your relationship programming throughout this show. This one has to get up. The one I'm speaking about has to get up in the crack of dawn. So we're going to get her awake and working on her program before she goes to bed. So let's do it right now. So let's call in. Let's use a violet flame. Okay, so let's call in the violet flame and have it come in and just absolutely penetrate your whole being. Have it run through the top of your head, right down through your body, and down your shoulders and your arms, out to your hands, so your hands tingle. Back up your arms and have the violet flame, Saint Germain's gift to us all, whirl and pulse through the torso. Whirl and pulse, and then absolutely flush the legs. Flush up and down, flush, flush, flush. And we want to just make sure that you are very, very bright, and I am very, very bright. And then have a beautiful structure around you. You know how to do either a huge diamond shape, which is a double tetrahedron, or use the star tetrahedron. Make it bigger than just your Merkaba, which is around your body. Make it even bigger, a three-dimensional Star of David. And then we're going to be in that structure. And part of the reason we want to be in a structure that is sacred geometrics, that's it, you create with your mind and your heart, a golden star, a golden Merkaba, a golden geometrics, call it a star tetrahedron, and it's very sacred. And you go inside and you spin it a little and spin and spin and spin and spin. And that keeps you separating your fields from this dear friend's fields. And now inside of that star tetrahedron, Adrian, let's create our galactic healing center. It's a little different than the usual procedure, but you can do everything differently if you want to. And now we're taking our friend in there and we're asking her higher guidance, and we ask a few of the healing guides and angels to come in, and we're going to ask her to call up that feeling of isolation that she has had to have for survival all of her life. Let's call it up and feel it. I want to feel that isolation. It's a program, a pattern in your body, mind. And we want to see where it is, and it's in her belly. It's even in the genital area. It seems to move up through the body and right up to the, it goes up through the heart. And then it starts to pulse right up around, I think, the right, or it could be the left. I don't know if I'm mirroring if this is right. Okay, so we'll just say the left temporal lobe. And we want to ask to feel in her body, mind, all that need or that program that demands that she be in isolation and that she isn't integrated with whatever's going on. There we go. And let's exaggerate it. And let's exaggerate it. They have to be isolated. People get close, then it pulls away. Yeah, there you are. Pull it up, pull it up. And now I can feel it buzzing through her body. You might even feel, my friend, you might even feel your hands buzzing like mad. And then let's take that violet flame that we're already playing with and move it up through her perineum and just pulse it through her body, especially through the perineum and the belly area. The belly houses subconscious leftover stuff, and just have it burn and burn and burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. Good. Burn and burn and burn. We all have some of this one too. So bring it up through your own perineums and just burn and burn and burn this old program. Good. Old program. And you know what happens? Okay, because what I see is that her actual interchange or exchanging charisma, this is a person who's very, very sensitive and needs quiet and alone space. So that's not isolation. That's just needing some alone space to gather herself, right? But what I see is your charisma is expanding out as we do that. So we're pulling up, again, the violet flame, swishing out, burning out that urge or that need for isolation. It was just a survival thing you had as a child. It doesn't need to be there. And swish your whole body with this violet flame. And as you move the violet flame up through the body, good. No, it's struggling. It won't go up through the throat right now. Just make it tickle the throat chakra. Give it a tickle. That's it. Have the violet flame move up through the neck. Now, the neck is the consciousness of self. So as you move that violet flame through the belly area, through the subconscious drives to be isolated, the neck has to act up, doesn't it? It has to hurt. It has to go, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? We're saying you're moving that isolation thing. That's not who you are anymore. Move it up through. Good. Good. And then move it up into the brain. And then have your brain be flushed with this amazing, amazing violet flame. Let's go back down to the throat again and bring the violet flame up. And remember, when we go up into the brain, go up behind your facial features and give yourself a little facelift while you're at it. Good work. Good work. All right. Now, I'm hoping that some of you, that was really good. I really like it. And I want to see that you're going to feel lighter and freer. And I'm also hoping that several of you are going to call in and talk to me about what's going on in your world and your relationship. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you're listening to Radiance by Design. Here's another thing about relationships that's happening a lot. So we're going to do some energy releasing from this, is mothers and daughters. Let's just see how many of you are mothers. How many of you are daughters? Well, you're probably all daughters, all the girl people here. Okay, here we go. And we've had several people it's funny because just as I was getting ready, my stepdaughter, whom I'm very, very close to, sent me an email. It's Amy Schumer. And she was doing a visit with a therapist. She was doing a skit, a visit with a therapist with her mother. And she was shaking and saying to the therapist, I just can't do it. And what was really hilarious, because I want to talk about those kinds of relationships, her mother was driving. When her mother was sitting there, she was driving her crazy. I didn't see the whole clip, but the theme was her mom wanted some advice. And her mother was driving her daughter crazy because she seemed to be manipulating in the way she needed the advice. Like, how do I turn on my computer? And it reminds me of Maria Bamford and her mother, Marilyn. And they've done some. Okay, great. I'll interrupt my broadcast because we have a caller. Kim, welcome to the show. Hello?
Is that me? I'm Nancy.
Oh, Nancy, how are you, sweetie? How are you doing?
I'm okay. I haven't talked to you for a while, and I wanted to call because the first of this year seems so much better and different, and I'm still struggling. So I wanted to call and get sort of an energy update from you and how I'm doing. And
And the first of the year was really hard, was it?
Things felt better than they had been. And I think, I can't remember when it was I talked to you. I talked to you sometime this year. But it felt like, you know, it felt better. I mean, I've just been through a lot. I don't know if you remember Nancy from Idaho. But it felt better at the beginning of the year. But, you know, I just still am struggling along a little bit.
Yeah, and you've been in that change. See, I want to say that you're changing. You've been in that change for a few years now, like, right?
Yeah, it'll be 8 here soon, very soon.
You know what? That's a good hefty few, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yes.
And what I think is that, oh, first of all, how's your health? You're a little bit timid health-wise, are you?
Yeah, it's taken its toll on me, and I'm trying to get my health back now.
I think it's been really something, huh? You've done a great job, my friend. Hey,
I don't know
and,
that.
And your ex is helping. Well, here's what I'm seeing is your light is much brighter. Your healing is much, much greater. You're not complete yet. It looks like you go through it. Now, I was going to get somebody's astrological report. Just knocked my socks off the other day. And if I can, I'll find it on the computer before we're done here. But it's really I think what she said was there's so much going on and there's resistance between certain big planets. And that the goal is for us to come through it with all this dishevelment and chaos and actually be better at creating. Look at you, Nancy. I just see somebody who's coming through a huge period of growth and change, and it's been heck. It's been really hard. But I want to say you're getting there, my friend. And when I report this astrological thing, I go, well, you're supposed to be creating over the next probably month or so, you're supposed to be creating a much stronger sense of who you are and where you're headed from here. I don't think you want to stay in Idaho, do you, darling?
I'm open. I mean, I've had to, through this process, I've had to become really surrendered.
Yeah.
And so
good.
You know, it's more important that I find, you know, just maybe some close, you know, just at least one close connected relationship. You know, I hope for more, but.
And so you have nobody, but you have a husband, ex-husband and a son, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And your son is right there?
Yes. Yes, and he won't graduate from high school till next year. And I've just been back and forth whether he really needs me or not anymore. And so I want to stay kind of, you know, at least kind of close to him for a bit. And I'm trying to get on my feet while I'm here. And they've both been, you know, helpful to me. But there's, it just feels like I got so unattached from everything that I don't really have a real close connection to them that I used to have.
Because you had some afflictions, right?
Afflictions?
Well, I mean, your son didn't quite know how to deal with some of your problems, right?
No, I just, you know, it's more like I got unattached from everything in my life, and I'm trying to gather up which things to keep and which things not. Of course, I'm going to keep my son. But, our relationship changed.
I think what you're going to do is change the way you relate to both of them, especially your son, in a way, because he also is going to go through some huge changes. Is he in 12th grade? Is he in the final year?
He will be next year.
Okay. So somewhere in the 12th year, in his grade 12, he's going to become quite different. It's almost like he turns a huge corner and he sort of wakes up about himself at a new level. And I find him speaking with you, not yet, but in time, rather objectively in a new kind of fashion. And you like it a lot. It really gives you a sense of being brand new. And he sees you as brand new. And I want to say in relationships, that's a pretty amazing thing, is it not?
Yeah, and our relationships are better in many ways than they were, but, you know, still can't communicate with my ex-husband as well as I'd like, but it has improved. I've seen big changes from the changes I've made in myself. There have been big changes in everything, and just the dust hasn't settled yet. So,
but you know, if I were just to be an energy person, I would say your energy has changed radically. You have changed so much that you're still fragile about going into the world in a new way. But you have changed, my friend. And they more your son than your husband, because he's got more. Your husband has more resistance, don't you think?
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. By far.
And you left him, did you not? Or did he ask you to leave?
Well, both. Both. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want to remember that part of him asking me.
Oh, he
wants
to...
So we're not back together, yeah.
You are back together?
We're not. We're not really back together. But he's back and forth of whether he wants that or not. But, you know, but anyway, yeah.
Well, most of us, honey, most of us don't want to be alone.
Yeah, I know.
But I see him. I see your son. Okay, this is back to the old contracts about marriages and so on. I think your contract with your ex is pretty much done, except there's kind of a support friendship that comes up sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But with your son, there's a transformation. So whatever the contracts are, his reason for coming to you as his mother, a lot of that is going to go through some huge, he's going to go through some huge awakening changes. He's going to be it looks like he has kind of a depression coming up, and then coming out of that, depression isn't always a bad thing. It's a kind of a place we go into and to re-refine and redefine ourselves. And then when he rises through that, you and he establish a whole different kind of relationship, and you really enjoy each other on the other side of your changes. And he has a deep, absolutely innate respect, not yet, but in time, a deep innate respect for what it is you've been doing. And that's something you need. You said you need friendship. I'm going, you know, you've got people coming into your life, but not quite in a hurry yet, because you're still, you're channeling, aren't you? You're intuiting things, are you not?
Yeah, I've got little bits of information, but I've had a really hard time getting back on my spiritual practice again for reasons I don't fully understand. before maybe it wasn't meant to be because it would be like another diversion, but I feel like I need to do that now, and I'm still having a little bit of problem doing that, but feeling closer and closer all the time. Is there a reason?
Well, you know,
you can
know what?
Why I'm...
The relationship with yourself, you're a little bit reluctant. It's like we need friends sometimes because it pushes our butt, you know, pushes us.
Yeah.
And you need to start talking to your own guidance a little bit more because you are awake. You know, it's funny. I feel like having a nap when I say that, which tells me that you want to pull away from it and go and rest. There's too much going on. And I want to say that you're going to go into a time where you're just going to be very, very spiritually active. You've got new people coming into your life. You and your son are going to have a good rapport. And you've got it. I think I saw this before. You're going to have a kind of a job coming up and you're creating it. It's probably to do with your intuitive healing spiritual work. And it doesn't have to be that. You can get something else going. But I think you're going to love it. It's going to be fun. You know, spiritual work. I was working with somebody who's going through a huge widowhood, and he wants to learn a lot about metaphysics and so on. And it was fun. I said, the thing you have to realize is it's fun. It's loaded with toys, and there's all these different ways of entering who we are. And I see you zoop down the road. You and your son are pretty good friends now, and a new level. Not this minute, but after. Or somewhere around grade 12, and you're having a lot of fun as you piece together your work. Your ex-husband doesn't change too much, but you do, and then back to relationships and contracts. You know, we do move our way out of them, and I'm going to have to go because I have another caller, but I hope that helped
okay,
you a little.
Thank you.
I'm really glad you called in, Nancy.
Thank you, Veronica. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thank you, honey. Bye-bye. So that's interesting. Now we have another caller, Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Veronica. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I actually have an interesting question. Your caller just said, which is maybe it's not meant to be, and I can get confused when we use that type of communication because. How do we differentiate between what's not to be in designing our own life and making what that is to be for us? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. You mean instead of creating our reality, we accept that something's not meant to be? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, something in that vein, yeah. It confuses me because I've often said that myself, well, maybe it's not meant to be. And is that maybe a passive way of looking at things versus actually taking control of our lives and making whatever our dream is or whatever it is that we want to do?
You just said a brilliant thing, Judy. You probably don't even know it, but you get points anyway.
Okay.
Because when you said taking control of our lives, when we create our reality, we create our lives, it isn't always taking control. If you look at it differently, you could say, When you get a funny feeling around somebody, here you're trying to create a good relationship or something, but you start feeling some slippage in your gut, in the belly, which is pretty powerfully subconscious, or a funny caving in the heart, then you got to kind of pay attention because you might be getting messages that you have to surrender, you have to let go of something that it's maybe not meant to be or it is meant to be, or the other person has sort of odd resistances or manipulations that keep coming up. You're going, And I'm directly referring to relationship. The other thing is if you have some people in your life that repeatedly, so if you have somebody who lies to you, for example, and you get over it and you forgive them, and then you get on to the next one and they lie again, and then sometimes we put up with it for like 10 or 15 years, and then the not meant to be gets really loud and clear, because what we're learning is it wasn't meant to be that I would be in a healing, healthy relationship with this one because he doesn't want it or she doesn't want it. Right? It's not meant to be. It's meant to wake me up to pay attention to where the lies come in and you know, who's going to betray me? Do you see? Not
I
every
do.
Relationship is supposed to last the way it is. And that.
So in other words, we did design that, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in
but
a way.
If you use the word control, Judy, if you said, well, I want to control it, you hang on to it for dear life, right?
Yeah,
see
I guess
I mean?
It would be. I guess what I'm saying is actually taking control of our lives and designing it the way we would like it to be, whether it be relationship, business, friendship, family, whatever that is, and actually taking that energy and making it, designing it, if you will, how we would like to have it come about. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but
I think that's really, really wonderful, but sometimes that means you're not paying attention to. See, there's two things. One is there are things that we need to clear, and there are things that we need to be creating. And any of the times I learned about manifesting in my life, it's always been the same as you get it all set up. Them, feel them, and then let it go. Hand it to God. Hand it to the Ho'oponopono. Hand it out there and don't, you see? And so that's a fine dance, isn't it, between creating our reality and not meant to be awarenesses. Isn't it? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. No, that makes sense. I like that, actually. Okay, so that cleared that up. And then I have one other little quick thing.
Go ahead.
You had said a while back about, and this is in regard to relationships, I've recognized within my own patterns that I have most of my relationships kind of have the same theme. And you had said every once in a while we need to turn around and look behind us what we're taking with us. And that kind of hit me today, as you know. And I'm wondering, how do we stop those patterns so that we don't take it with us when we go home? That intrigues me.
That's a really good question. Yeah, that is a really good question. I think that actually one of the things about, just a sec, I'm going to pick on somebody who's phoned in that is not you, just on purpose to kind of vary things. There's a woman who came from a family. She had a lot of, it was kind of an abusive, urgent family, right? And she's had, she has a whole bunch of brothers and sisters, and she's got a daughter who is abusive to her all the time, and she's got a grandson who is now turning against her because of her daughter. But the interesting thing about that pattern is in her urgency to make things okay, she's literally pushing away the daughter and the grandson. And I'm kind of exaggerating it to make this an easier lesson. So if you're listening, madam, who I'm talking about, forgive me for changing the story a wee bit. But in any case, there's not much else to do besides just what you said. Stay still and look around at your own legend. And see, I want everybody at home to do that as well. Take a minute and look at your own legend. What has happened repeatedly in your legend? Have you been isolated? Have you been left out? Have you been judged a lot? Everybody's been judged, but you know what I mean? Excluded in a very big way in your family? Have you been abused in several ways? There we are. And when I say all those things, Judy, you can feel it right in your body, can you not?
Oh, yes.
So that's where the patterns are. And we could say to ourselves, gee, what is the pattern exactly? I'm just saying your belly, all of our bellies, but your belly, we're picking on you right now, is just patterned with old programs that say, be mean to me, push me. And then there you are wanting to make life okay for yourself and for other people. So you want to create it, but you're ignoring that pattern. You know, you have to stop and really call forth the pattern that you've lived and relived. And I think you could clear that. And so when we cross over, we're not hauling it with us. You know, and I really say
okay,
that.
So just focus on the belly.
Yeah, but not just focus on the belly. Stand there and look at your past. All right? And ask where it is in the belly. And then let it build up and build up. And by the time you've gone through your little legend there, or big legend, whatever it is, your belly should be pulsing like mad. Blah, 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 blah. And this is for all of you. For the one who has the isolation thing, there's a kind of a cold tension in your belly, right? And Nancy, who just called in, she's shucked a great deal of programming in there and is fighting. It's making me yawn, Nancy. Stop that. The yawning comes when I get hooked into someone else's belly, you see, and intuitively and empathically. And the belly is saying, I don't want to bring that up. And my body goes, ugh, and I start to yawn. So it's quite funny. But then when Nancy yawns, or whoever it is you're working with, then it means I don't have any more of that. That's done. She's taking care of it. And she's yawning because it's fighting her back. A pattern is an energy blob, if you will, that has a lot of material in it. It has a lot of beliefs and substructures in it, doesn't it? So does that make sense, Judy? Instead of calling it up and feeling it and then ultimately handing it to your guides and angels, saying to them, you take this, you know, or at least just keep calling it up and calling it up and calling it up. And you'll notice it's pulling up in your body, and you'll notice your energy starts changing. And you start, and this is true for every one of you, you start meeting different kinds of people, totally different kinds of people. And you start attracting different situations. You might be a little gun shy, like who's going to betray me, who's going to do this or that. But ultimately, if you get that pattern going, you shouldn't experience the same stuff at all. And then you can go, hot diggity, I'm doing a good job. Right?
All right. No, that makes total sense. I mean, it does. Thank you for that. Because, you know, I'm working
Thank
on
you.
Clearing...
And
those patterns.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good. Thank you.
All right, honey. Well, thank you for calling. And
all right.
I hope some more people call in. This is fun for me.
It is. I think have another caller calling in. So,
okay.
Thank you,
thanks,
Veronica.
Judy.
You take care. We'll talk
take
soon.
Take care of yourself. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye. Hello.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi. Who have I got?
You have Darcy from Massachusetts.
Hi, Darcy from Massachusetts. How wonderful to talk to you, darling.
Nice to talk to you, too. I have a couple of questions about... I have a lot of
how
relationship questions. I don't know how I am. I'm very stricken by the idea of talking about relationships, and I realize that I have issues in almost all of them that I have, and I'm really not sure why there's so much negativity in my relationships, and it depends whether it's with my children or my family of origin or in my intimate relationship that I have. There's a lot of problems, and I'm just wondering if you sense anything that I do to perpetuate that.
Well, let's give you a thumbnail thing. Part of the thing when we do this kind of work, Darcy, is we're looking into ourselves to see what we're responsible for. So not to pick on ourselves, but just to sort of get like, okay, somewhere I'm in charge here and I need to figure out what that is. And there's a part of you that has been very damaged as a small person, very damaged. And that part of you hasn't found her way into the light yet. So she's got in your belly and in your solar plexus looks like it's really hurting right now. That's your stomach, you know, your power center. And I want to say, do you know the Ho'oponopono? Do you know that?
I do. Yeah.
Okay, so I would use that on it because what happens is you learned as a small person that you could not be, you simply couldn't be validated, right? It's like that. Nobody's going to really look after me or validate me or recognize what I am. So there's a part of you that's really deeply in defense. And don't be offended by that because I want everybody at home to run through their body and say, I want to feel all my own defenses. And when I do that, boy, some days I'm really shocked at how much is in there. And the thing, people can't really get close to you because of it. And the thing about that is what we don't realize is when we're in a state of defense, the people, first of all, you have a lot of people in your family of origin that aren't exactly self-aware. That's not to pick on them, it's just to say they don't really know what they're doing. The second thing is that you have a really powerful, powerful soul journey, and it's not just a normal one, it's one that wants to step, oh, you're an artist, right? You want to step forward in this lifetime to shine light on a very different way of doing things. But when you're holding yourself in a state of defense, a lot of the people around you feel like they feel judged or like you're feeling less than or something. You don't maybe feel that way, but that's what's coming out of your energy pattern from being so treated as a young person. And I want to say you don't have to do that very much longer. We have to realize that there's a blessing at this time in history. I don't think your husband is aware of all that. I don't think he's a really, really conscious man. Not to pick on him, but he doesn't know what's real about you. It's funny to say, but it's like he observes you, he reacts to you. In some ways, he really cares about you, but he doesn't know how to interact with that. I mean, this is true for a lot of relationships, male, female. They don't know how to interact with us in a way that brings us all forward. He doesn't know how to do that because he's also in defense of all kinds of things. He doesn't feel well either, does he?
Mm-mm.
So that also really affects people's relationship. So I just want to say to you, it's a big thing to say on a radio call, but you have the ability, my friend, to go in there and really feel that defense. Just keep feeling it and command. Say to your guides and angels, I need to feel it everywhere it is in my body. If it's in my knees, in my ankles, I don't care. I just want to know. And keep bringing up those energy patterns. And then command total release of them because you are a magical woman and you can clear all this. It requires a kind of a giving over or surrendering of some of these things. And you can do it. You're a very, very strong woman. And you don't need to be strong against those people anymore because that's just exhausting you.
I actually feel, you know, pretty solid and peaceful about who I am right now. What I'm not liking is that I feel, I'll be very straight up, I have a very large circle in the global sense of people, but in my immediate world at home, my house, my home, it's pretty small who I sort of let in, just because it takes too much energy to let everybody in. Mm-hmm. And so my circle is very small and consists of a couple of friends who come here, and I'm talking about to my literal space, my spousal equivalent, who is here part of the time, he works away. And then my children and my grandchildren. This is what I'm about to lay down is the number one thing bothering me. And that is that in this circle of people, I'm getting stolen from.
Oh, my gosh.
Being taken from me. And I have some theories. I don't think it's just one of these very few people. I think it's more than one. But that's even beside the point. I don't know how to stop that energy because it's not something I would ever partake in. And so I don't understand how you could remove an object from your friend, your mother's, your sister's home. And so I'm trying to figure that out. I mean, these are some of the negative things, and that's just one example of some things going on in my immediate space that I am very perplexed by and don't understand karmically how it's, why it's happening to me.
What are they taking, Darcy?
Clothing, jewelry. It's really personal. And I had some theories. I wanted to throw it at you. You know, I don't think, for instance, my husband who comes in and out of the house is the person who is, you know, taking a pair of earrings because he likes them. Okay, I think that's one of the females in my world. But like I said, there's very few of those who are around me. And I have, to be honest, gotten to the point where I'm afraid to leave any given person alone in a room while I go pick a sandwich or whatever. It's very, very disturbing to me. And it's been going on a long time.
Do you have a woman working? Do you have a daughter? Do you have a daughter?
I have two daughters.
Okay. Does one of them work for you?
She has been, actually, the last couple of days. The one who is spending time with me here is not the one I think does this, to be honest.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I think it's my other daughter, and I think it could be one, if not two, of my friends. There's very few people. I feel like it's a female thing. I don't know for sure. I think both my daughters have done it, but I don't think one of them is responsible now for the current stuff. I feel like if I went to one of their one of my two children's apartments, I would find much. That's my sense. But
are you going to go there? Are you going to do it?
I don't really have a way. I mean, it's not a place I'm very invited to, and I don't really have a way to go open her door to go look myself. What's bothering me is that both of my children are mothers, so both of my children are setting examples for these beautiful children that they're raising, and I think this is not a good example. In overall disrespect, and I understand, I think there is a family dynamic that started way back into my childhood, probably at the moment I was born, that started, and that family dynamic, you know, I sort of don't want it to go on to be part of my grandchildren also. I don't want them to experience that negativity.
Whatever
that is. I actually have removed myself from the parts of it that I think, you know, because of unfairness or unkindness or unhealthiness to me, I've withdrawn from that painful stuff, and I feel pretty solid about that. So I don't feel particularly defensive. I just don't know how to stop. You know, I've removed myself. Do I remove myself from my children? Is that the next step? You can't come. None of you people can come to my house because you decide if you like it, you take it.
Have you asked your higher guidance, say, reveal to me over and over? I like to use this. Reveal to me what this is. And you said you don't have defense, but I'm going, there's a way in which they feel pushed out by you, and as such, and that's not by you, Darcy, this is by a deep old pattern, and as such, they can interact with you in a way that has less, that's a little bit colder, that has less respect because they feel pushed out or something. And it could come from, I was doing some Ho'oponopono on myself and a project I had that wasn't, that the project wasn't going well. And I chanted it, and all of a sudden what came up in me were some really deep ways in which I pushed it all away from me out of self-protection. And it's the same kind of thing. It's the pushing away that keeps people at arm's length. But we don't even know we're pushing them away. We have to go in there and research ourselves. Because everybody's got programs. You do. I do. you know, all the people that have called in do. And it's not easy because one of your daughters is really, really quite sweet, actually. Very
sweet.
Yes, she is. I don't think it's her, but she doesn't have a lot of those kinds of issues. But I do think, here's something you can try. Ask your guides to reveal to me, and sometimes it takes a few days. But the other thing is to keep sending, you know, light, balls of light to push people away, and it's loving. It just gives you the space to clear up the, you don't want to keep the stealing going on. You know, I want them to be caught.
Things go through my mind, like, you know, maybe I should set up a camera and catch the culprit and show them, you know, like, and I don't want to be that. I don't want to do that. I just want it to stop. I want the people I love to
don't
be
you
in
think
my
it's
world.
Better to do that than not? Yeah.
Well, I can't. I actually don't. From a financial point of view, I couldn't set that up for myself if I wanted to. But that's beside the point. I mean, I think about these things, and I thought, why should I even have to think about these things? Why would I have to be not trusting of the children I gave birth to, or to a couple of friends I've been friends with since I was 14 years old? That's 40 years of friendship, and I can't trust you in my house. This makes me very uncomfortable. I mean, I just can't imagine going to your house and taking something.
What about your friend? One of your friends that you've known for 40 years has gone through a really difficult time and is not balanced in her mind. Do you know that?
I can believe that.
But so you see what I'm saying is I'm saying that we have to pay attention, A. B, we have to keep clearing our own programs. I don't care what they are, but you need to clear them and then command total release. And then when somebody's a little bit askewy, just watch. I would ask to be revealed because one of them is a bit light-fingered and she's not a kleptomaniac, but you know what a kleptomaniac does. So they go off and take all kinds of irrelevant things, right? And they can't stop. She might be doing a little of that right now. Because it looks like she's not. She looks like. Yeah, and it looks like. It doesn't look like she has her normal checks and balances. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And the thing about you is, anyway, I appreciate your call. I know I've kind of gone at it in a really intense way, but I feel like you're coming into it, and this is the good part. You're coming into a time where you're going to clear up a number of programs, and these things are going to change and stop. But I also want you to use the eyes you have to see and watch several of these people before you take any big action, because you'll be able to see where their minds and hearts are in dissonance. You know, they're not really operating from their normal integrity, if you want to put it that way. And you're moving into a time where you're going to be, you know that? You're going to be operating from a new... We're not the people we were before. We're new, and we want to be able to be shiny about it, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Well, thank you for your call, honey. I hope you don't feel offended. I went right after all the heavy stuff there.
No, I don't feel offended at all. I don't at all. I appreciate it, actually. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your call. All right. Well, it's really interesting because, it's the old thing, if we attract the law of attraction, we attract everything. But it's really hard to figure out, what does that mean? How do I use that information, right? And the best way I can think of to use the information is I call it up. I call in the guides and angels and I say, show me. Now, here's another thing. When you're calling up, I want you to call up the energy. We did the violet flame and all that sort of thing. Do the violet flame, wash it through your body, mind, so that your energy and your direction is pure. Wrap yourself in light. And you know those star tetrahedrons? What's really fun is set them up and have them spinning under your feet. Spin, 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 spin. Have them spinning in your knees. have them spinning in your genital area, but now spin it and spin it and spin it in your belly, which houses the subconscious. Spin it and spin it and spin it. Your whole body talks about your lineage, but we're picking on the specific of using this star tetrahedron and spin it and spin it and spin it in the belly. And that's, in Darcy's case, that's where a lot of the old programs from her childhood are. You don't even have to figure them all out. You just need to call it up and feel it and then start spinning and spinning and spinning the star tetrahedron. Do it in your solar plexus. And that's your personal power center and in your heart chakra. Because I see a lot of people, and I meant to talk about this, a lot of people out there have had to break up with relationships or have been dumped or whatever's going on. A lot of relationships breaking down. There's a lot of grief. But grief is a very, very, very stunning, transformative tool for all of you. And if you can let yourself have it, you become new. And I want to say, use that star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin. You can do each lung if you want. Spin and spin and spin now in your throat, where you squeeze, bring wisdom out of all your experiences. Your consciousness of self goes up, spin and spin and spin. And then move it in your head, right in your head. Great. Spin and spin and spin and shoot it out through the top of your head. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Thank you so much for all of your calls. And let me know how you are, veronicaentwistle.com. And if you'd like a session with me or you just want to make comments, there's an Ask Veronica button. Love to talk to you soon. Good night and many, many blessings for all your hard work and the changes that you're creating yourselves. Good night.